This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund. Day 10 out on the shores of Lake Washington. Another beautiful day, but practice was a little bit later, so we're a little bit more in the shade. But temperature in the low 70s throughout Seattle. Just a really, really, really nice day out here for practice. And I don't know, Scott, you know, we mentioned of it, you know, just if you had to one word to describe today's practice, boring.
Well, I mean, they're getting done stuff they have to get done, but it's all install work, stuff we can't really talk about, what, you know, formations and things like that. So I would say of the 2.5 hours we were out there, probably an hour and a half of it was install, close to it, at different times. You know, they split it up, but there was some special teams work too. They did install. There was a little 7-on-7, but only that I'm aware of, Chris, they had one team session. Then they had a red zone session, which is full team. And then they had another another session where they were coming out of their own thing.
Yeah, they did some situational stuff. They did some clock management stuff. Like, it felt like they were doing some hurry up, 2 minute type stuff at the end. They also do an interesting team period where the ball moves regardless of the result of the play. They just keep chunking it down the field. Mm-hmm. And I've seen other staffs use that as well. So that's kind of common. But, you know, I thought they definitely did a lot of team stuff near the end. But for the most part, yeah, the first hour, at least the first hour, 75 minutes, a lot of install stuff, some special team stuff. Again, yeah, just stuff we can't talk about.
Yeah, you know, install means teaching, you know, running new formations, running different lineups, you know, where to line up, and just a lot of, you know, on the field teaching going on the installs, and just a lot of the stuff that they had on film, I'm sure, before they came out to practice. And okay, now we're going from you seeing it on film and you seeing it on paper, you're going to run the route, you're going to run this stunt, this blitz, this block, you know, so it was just a lot of that today, Scott.
I would say also real quick, there was one upside, is that this was the first time in a number of practices that I've seen where they actually went full two lines. So they had the first unit out there, and then there were whether it was solo or as a party, one of them took the one tackle spot for both the first and the second lines, and then as a party did it for the next session, for the end, kind of end team period. So this was the first time where, because last few practices, as you know, Scott, they would run the first line, and then if they wanted to run a second team, like with Damon Williams and stuff, even during a team period, it looked more like a skelly drill or a 7-on, mm-hmm. because they didn't have enough linemen. Well, they only had 9 linemen today, but they utilized them all, and they were actually able to fashion together something that almost resembled a 2-deep.
Yeah, and they did run the thing where we hadn't seen it before until this staff came in, where they did like the half of the offensive line and defensive line would block and rush where the other half wouldn't. And so they did that a few times. But yeah, those linemen are getting a lot of reps. I mean, they are getting so many reps that it's going to be invaluable down the road, but right now it's real tough on those guys.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes too many reps isn't a good thing either, because mm-hmm. when you're getting your rep and then you're on the sidelines, you're also being coached and you're teaching. But, you know, sometimes if you're taking as many reps, you're just getting tired, and it's that diminishing return thing.
Well, there was a couple different times, again, like when, like Soane Fasolo, when he went down for that second team, you know, the team had trucked the ball all the way down in the end zone. And then they started back again.
And like he had to run down.
And he had to run all the way down. You could see the teammates like clapping him on and cheering him on, because they knew, you know, he was really having to kind of gut it mm-hmm. through this period. And same thing happened for Azapardi. But you're right, Scott. Yeah. I mean, invaluable turns right now. But what's it going to mean in the grand scheme, especially like you know, 3-4 months from now, mm-hmm. we'll see. Yeah, but it doesn't feel like it's going to be much.
I feel like the added reps are going to benefit. We're going to see the benefits of the added reps in seasons like 2025 and 2026. Because I think, you know, we've said it, and we're going to get to recruiting in a little bit, but we've said it all along. I think the other, besides as a party, I think the other four starters along the offensive line, save maybe center, are not even on the roster
yet. Zach Hitting is definitely getting a lot of reps at center.
He's gotten a lot of reps, a lot better. And, you know, Hatchett, Landon, could be – I doubt he's going to be fully healthy and ready to go by the start of the season, but maybe a few weeks in.
We're no longer calling him Hatchett, by the way.
What are we calling him?
Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah, because he's working out on the – boxing. I'll tell you what. He was going at it with the guy on the sideline, one of the trainers on the sideline.
Well, you could hear the rap, 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 popping. Yeah, for about a half hour, man. He was going after it. But in Gordon Memelar, it was really good to see him out there getting more turns.
Still isn't doing full teamwork, though, right?
But it feels like they're starting to kind of up him.
He's on the cusp.
Yeah, so that by the time fall rolls around, he should be just hitting the ground running.
Yeah,
Chris, you mentioned, you know, before we started this that, you know, with just the way they were doing things today, we could pretty much anticipate the same type of practice tomorrow, and they're gearing up and ramping up for our scrimmage on Saturday. Well, we don't know that for sure, but that's what it seems like.
We don't know that for sure, but basically if you base it on of what they did last week, Tuesday, shells and shorts, Thursday, shells and shorts, Saturday, 104 reps, I think, 104 plays for the scrimmage.
I said it was 100 plus. Yeah,
and so I think he said 104 in his post-practice interview. So, again, it feels like today, you know, an install session, a lot of shells and shorts, but a lot of some teamwork as well. And then they've moved it up. Instead of Thursday this week, they've moved practice up to tomorrow. So Wednesday, it's going to start at 4 o'clock, and it feels like it's going to be another shell shorts. And if they're starting at 4, it may even be a little shorter practice. It may only be a two-hour practice to 6 instead of a two-and-a-half-hour practice. Again, speculating, but we've seen this before, especially once you start getting near the end of a session, whether it's spring or fall. Sometimes they taper a little bit. You're right in the middle of the dog days. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear a ton of talking today. It felt like guys were kind of going through it, especially early on. I thought things were pretty sloppy, especially on the offensive side. I thought once they started getting in the team stuff, it started to get a little crisper. But I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow's a little shorter practice, shell shorts, and then gear up for another 100-plus play scrimmage on Saturday.
Yeah, for those that are planning on coming to practice, it's not a 3 or a 3:30 start, it's a 4 o'clock start.
And that's tomorrow instead of Thursday, which is what it was initially scheduled for, because they haven't said so, but we're pretty sure it's because of the draft.
Well, yeah, spokesperson for UW said basically draft.
It was Scott went to Coach Fish and said, I have something going Thursday. Can you switch practice to Wednesday?
No, I did not. I have something going on Wednesday, and Fetters and I had to split the baby a little bit between the two of us.
We'll take care of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, whatever. It is what it is. But anyway, so normally they would have a Thursday practice, but this week they've changed it to Wednesday.
And even though it inconveniences our social agendas a little bit tomorrow, to be honest with you, having the full day for the draft on Thursday is going to be very helpful. So thank you, Coach Fish. Yeah. It will actually help us.
Well, you know what I'm doing Thursday now.
Golf.
I would assume you're watching the draft like the rest of us and working hard like the rest of us?
When I'm done golfing, I will.
Oh. Okay.
But
how was golf today, by the way?
I didn't play today.
Oh, yesterday. Sorry, how was golf yesterday?
Played Sahali.
There you go.
I didn't know there was water there.
What?
Okay.
Did you not watch the
I just thought I rolled
the PGA?
I thought it just rolled off to the right and I was just gonna have a little chip shot. There's water there. Nobody told me there was water.
Someone told him it was water there, and he thought it was Lake Sammamish.
Yeah, it probably was. But
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Again, just, you know, not a lot going on today, Scott. So let's just go ahead and move it right into, you know, with recruiting. Washington was able to.
People aren't interested in recruiting right now, right?
Portal's not recruiting, is it?
Oh, it's buying. That's what it really is. What it's coming down to right now.
It's monopoly.
You know, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I am scattered when it comes to, you know, I mean, we're taking our best guesses. We're making, you know, I am not a guy who puts in a lot of crystal ball predictions. And when I did one for Marcus Bryant, the SMU offensive lineman, I thought, from what we had heard, you were on the same chat I was, Chris. It was a done deal.
Rock solid.
And it sounds like TCU is where it was headed, and UW came in and gave him a very lucrative NIL deal, and it sounded like it was done. And then he took a visit to Missouri, who got $12 million in one NIL gift from somebody and we think he's probably headed to Missouri right now. So,
well, right now might be the operative word, because the thing that a lot of people, I don't want to dive deep into this, but with the way the portal is working, they don't sign a letter. They don't sign anything.
They just show up.
When they go to class, that's the date. Mm-hmm. So they can bail on the day before class, and there's no letter. Yeah. There's nothing that commits them.
Let's be very clear about this. They sign a scholarship letter, Kim, but the scholarship letter only binds the school. It doesn't bind the player.
Yeah.
So they do sign something. It's just about.
But what he's saying is nothing that locks them in.
Right. Well, right. I mean, that's the way it's always been.
There's really nothing that,
But the portal has nothing to do with that.
Well, since the portal has existed, though, the players are not locked into anything.
The point is, the day before class starts, there's going to be somebody somewhere in this country that's going to get an NIL deal the day before class starts. Yeah. Not here, but it'll probably be somewhere.
Yeah. So Marcus Bryant. At right now, I'm going to have to change my crystal ball so I'm not wrong. So people, but
what happens if you are wrong?
Well, who knows? It's just nothing really, I guess. But you know, it's real hard. I mean, they had Elijah Badger in on Monday, and he just wrapped his visit up today, this morning. And so, this afternoon. And so he's a guy, I honestly thought we might get a chance to see him out here at practice today, watching things. But I think he's, you know, this has gotten not a kid you have to impress. He's seen what Arizona's offense can do. He's seen what this offense can do up close pretty well playing at Arizona State. He's played this staff and their offense. So granted, he's not going up against it, but he knows what they can do. And in my opinion, I was telling Kim when we found out that Elijah Badger was on, you and Kim, when we find out Badger was visiting, I said after Rome and Jalen Polk, there wasn't a better wide receiver in the conference than maybe you could say Tedaroya McMillan, maybe.
He's really good.
He's really good. But, man, Elijah Badger didn't have a quarterback. He was getting thrown to by Trent Bourget.
Well, you know, let's not malign Trenton Bourget too much, because he did beat Washington.
He did beat Washington, but, I mean, come on.
Which has now, I think, been forfeited.
Yeah. Yeah, so they won that game. They won 11-1.
But here's the thing. Was he part of the team that was in the 70-7 game against Arizona?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So, anyway, he's on campus. I think Washington's got a great shot with him, but the problem is things can change in a heartbeat. So.
I have a question for you, Scott.
What?
Is it Elijah Badger or Jeremiah Badger?
It's the Jeremiah.
Oh, now we're doing roommate radio, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway, and they're going to have and Washington just got a commit from a guy that when I originally wrote the story, I wrote it up as an offensive lineman committing to the University of Washington.
As we all assume.
Yeah. Logan Sagapulu, out of the University of Miami, but he actually signed with Oregon out of high school. But
He's from Utah.
Skyridge, which is in Lehigh, I think. He committed to the University of Washington. I posted the story this morning with his quotes and things like that. And he said that there were a few big schools that reached out to him, but once Coach Kafusi had started talking to him and everything, he said, I just felt real comfortable with him. And Washington was always a school I was interested in way back when he was being recruited out of high school. And so he said, when Coach Kafusi reached out to me, said he wanted me to play D tackle, I was all for it and jumped right in.
Well, we didn't even have time to connect the dots, because he literally with one tweet said, oh, by the way, I've been offered by the University of Washington and I commit.
Yeah.
And he put Kafusi. See, if he had just said, I've been offered by the University of Washington, Coach Kafusi, we might have been able to put one on one together. We would have been, okay, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. He is a big guy, so maybe he is getting switched.
Yeah.
But when he puts he's offered and he commits, it's like, oh, okay.
My favorite part was looking at the thread afterwards, and I came in after probably six or seven posts.
Yeah, you just dropped that turd in the punch bowl.
Well, because he dropped it to me. and so I'm like, sounds like he's playing nose guard. And then, what? Yeah. You know, it was pretty funny.
We've seen guys on the defensive side of the ball move to the offensive side of the ball, but when was the last time we had an offensive guy move over to the
defense? Well, MJ Ale.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That was one, but there aren't many.
No,
it's usually defense to the offense. Yeah. So, but no, he's got the body, the frame. He's played that side of the ball before, but it hasn't been in 4 years. So it'll be real interesting to see how he mixes in. You know, once he gets here, the nice thing is he will get here at the end of May. Mm-hmm. He finishes up mid May, at Miami, and he'll be up here end of May. And that'll give him a jump on trying to learn the defense, maybe getting some drills down from Coach Kafusi that he wants him to work on, just different things. So that's an interesting thing.
I forgot, did you ask about academic status? I assume he's not graduated yet.
No. Yes, he will. He will graduate,
He'll graduate at Miami?
Because he signed in 2000. Right. So, or, I'm sorry, 2020.
Right.
So one, two, three. So that's four. That's so 4 years.
But he'll have 2 years still.
He'll still have two seasons
with the COVID.
Yeah, he's a redshirt junior this year. So, yeah. And then they also got D'Angelo Titielli, out of he's out of Portland State, but he's from Eastside Catholic is where he played his high school football.
But he's from Federal Way.
Yeah, Federal Way area. And so
think he's related to Alfonso Tupatala?
If he's not related, I mean, they're very close. They were friends and they grew up together.
All the Samoans are cousins.
Yeah, they all know each other.
All the Paulies are cousins.
So that's kind of where things are at. They have two committed from the portal. We figured somewhere between 7 and 10 guys from the portal. So add it up. There's, 6 to 8 more that'll be brought in during the
time. And just to just to make sure people know, they've got until the 1st of May to enter the portal.
Yeah, so we've still got another week. 7 more days. So it's still going to be just utter chaos.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, so they've got 7 more days for a player to enter the portal and make sure that's official.
Unless
before
he's
the deadline.
A grad transfer.
Grad transfers can enter anytime if they haven't already.
Mm-hmm.
But once you enter the portal, then you can go ahead and start setting up visits. You can start setting up things. A lot of these guys now have agencies that they deal with. Yeah. So there's all sorts of machinations there as well. But the key date is to remember the 1st, because that's when they enter. If they haven't entered by the 1st, they can't enter until the next window.
And one more Washington player entered the portal.
Devon Banks?
Yeah.
Is that who you're talking about? Yeah. I thought we had talked about him. But anyway, yes, he did enter the portal. Wasn't at practice today, obviously.
Was Vincent Holmes there today?
Yes, he was.
You saw him.
Okay. Yeah. He made a play in the
he didn't have yellow on today, so no, he was actually in his purple 27.
I actually mentioned him in the practice wrap. He made a nice play on the red zone session that they did. It was the last one of the red zone session, I think, where he forced an incompletion. Dyson McCutcheon handed off Denzel Boston to him, and I think it was Rogers, but it might have been Williams. Tried to throw it to Boston, and they forced an incompletion.
I think people also might be curious to know that Damon Williams, so is Sebastian Valdez, that knocked a ball down in the very, mm-hmm. very last play of the of the final team period today. That's the first time I remember a ball being batted down for DeMond Williams.
DeMond has had a couple hit, but not as many as you would think.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, that's interesting because I hadn't seen that before.
Considering his size, you would expect a lot more.
Yeah. Recruiting this weekend, anybody in?
Yes. I don't know yet who it is.
You're still verifying.
Yes. Well, let's just put it this way. Washington was supposed to have Jermaine Lole, the defensive tackle out of Louisville, come in on Monday.
Via ASU, because he started at ASU.
Oh, he started at ASU, then went to Louisville. And but before he visited Washington, he was coming from Oklahoma, decided to stick with Oklahoma.
He got the bag.
Yeah, essentially, yes. Yeah. And he said, I'm not visiting. So then they brought in, well, Elijah Badger probably would have still come up even if Lole was here. But then we just turned our focus to Badger. But it's just things change so quickly, guys.
Do you think Sagapolo took his spot?
No.
Okay.
No.
So do you think they might go for another defensive
line? Yes, I do. I believe there will be one more. And I think, here's the thing. I think they've got an idea of who that one's going to be, but he isn't in the portal yet. So we're not going to say any names. Unlike other places, we're not going to drop that.
Chris, we've been going nonstop since the end of July. Are we ever going to get a breath?
Yeah, I think July. I really think July.
Well, I was, yeah.
When spring ball ends, you know what happens on May 4th?
Well, the coaches are out on the road recruiting.
Yeah, they're out on the road doing their May evaluation period. Then June starts, and that's all the camps.
Yeah.
And there's going to be camps galore. The big one is the Avery Huffman one that Brandon Huffman runs for his daughter's foundation. And that one will be loaded with kids. And then Washington will have three straight weekends with a camp of some sort. Yeah. So
it's just been crazy.
It's going to be nuts, yeah.
Just quick basketball note. Danny Sprinkle and staff got a commitment from high school guy, Jace Butler. He's a 6'6 shooting guard, top 100 player, was committed to Illinois, decommitted, and he's at Washington. And we're hearing rumors that, you know, we keep on looking at our phones, that there may be another basketball commit. There could be another basketball commit, you know, in the next 12 hours or so. So we'll keep an eye on that. Some more visitors coming in this weekend, and hopefully we can drop some names on those at some point.
Let's say, Kim, that there is a story in the can. We just don't know if it's for the right guy.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way we're living right now.
Basketball, Chris, and you know this more than anything. When you deal with football recruiting and basketball recruiting, they are not even in the same universe of an animal.
It's getting closer. It's getting closer.
Oh, man.
Right now, it's getting way closer with AAU.
But just the sheer numbers.
7-on-7. Yeah, the football is there. It's 10 times the amount of people.
Well, the biggest difference is one or two guys can be a program changer.
Yeah.
And that's what
can't
makes
have
it.
That in football. Yeah,
but here's the other thing too. I think generally speaking, the numbers that I hear get thrown out for football players compared to basketball players are getting the bag. It's not football players.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting the bag. And I think part of the reason is that, and I'll link this at the bottom of this story for the podcast, but I spoke with Ryan Abraham and David Woods for the podcast of Champions this morning, kind of talking about spring football with Washington. And they asked me kind of the biggest difference between DeBoer and Fish, and I just talked about the NFL angle and how these guys are really driving home that the NFL is a heck of a lot more important right now than NIL, and that they're really, really harping on that. Because if you go back and look at a time when guys weren't getting any NIL money, like Vita Vea or Buda Baker or some of these other guys, you know, Trent McDuffie might reset the market at corner once he for his second contract. That guy, did he get any NIL money? No. I mean, this is kind of the key. So I don't begrudge guys for getting – they should get the money while they get it. But at the same time, they need to keep their focus where it needs to be, and that's on development and making sure you get ready to be the best pro you can be.
Wrap it up, Scott Eklund.
10th day of practice. You know, we're kind of in that dog days time. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train coming at us. You know, it's spring game, you know, on the third. You know, we're getting toward that end, but, I'm honestly looking forward to Saturday, seeing a lot more scrimmaging like we did this past Saturday. Chris, you didn't get to see that 'cause you were dealing with some stuff, but, You know, this week, I mean, you'll see there's going to be a good, I think there's going to be a good scrimmage for people to come watch. And, cause I don't know what, I have no idea. Have we even asked anybody about what the format is, if they've decided on anything?
Well, that's the thing for the weekend scrimmages, I'm a lot more, I believe a lot more that they're going to be able to do like separate lines and stuff. But for the spring game, yeah. I don't see
it. I don't think it's going to be a game.
Event. I think seven on seven, that kind of thing. Yeah, I expect a lot more of that.
I would not expect, because the biggest thing is if they get to that completely healthy, they do not want to have any injuries.
They've got to give the 30,000 fans a show.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, too, guys, is that there's plenty of guys that are on the sideline right now that are going through individual work, whether it's a MLR or Hatchet. Or, you know, bottom line is, like, guys like Sam Adams and Cam Davis, they're doing a lot of individual work, but when they're not doing the team stuff, they're out on the side doing conditioning. And there's Isaiah Ward who's doing more of that stuff. There's some other guys, too, that are involved. You're starting to see guys like Packy Finau and Khalid Defai that are just starting to come back. And so they've got to be, you know, really smart with those guys as well. I mean, these guys definitely live by the same motto that Coach Pete did, who was at practice, by the way. Mm-hmm. And the idea of not being able to win spring. You can't win spring. And so they're of a similar mindset. And they just don't have the bodies to be able to get what they probably want to get done.
Anything else to wrap it up with, Chris?
Not really, other than a fantastic day weather-wise. And it was a little windy, but otherwise it was fantastic. And up in my perch in row Z up there, it was really good to see some of the stuff. Jeremiah Hunter, to me, continues to impress. I know Denzel Boston's probably receiver one right now. But Jeremiah Hunter made some great catches, especially
that catch in the red zone where he caught it right off the
ground. The shoe tops? That was like McMillan in the Alamo Bowl against Texas. Yep. That was that kind of play. But then he also had a one-handed grab in the back of the end zone that was just as impressive.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah. See, again, from my perch, I get to see these things. And it was fun to see him work and operate. I think he's getting a lot more comfortable. Those two guys are going to be really, really good this year. But they're going to need, you know, you talk about Badger. They're going to need a three to come in, whether that's Giles Jackson, whether that's one of the freshmen like a Rasheed Williams or Keith Reynolds,
he's
one of those guys.
Really,
and Reynolds
camp,
is continuing to improve as well. And then defensively, you know, we talked to the defensive backs today. It was good to talk to Efficience Brysock. He goes by Efi. And you know, he made it just point blank. He was like, wherever these guys were going, I was going with them. He's like, these are the guys that recruited me. No doubt about it. I don't care if they went to Washington State, whatever. I was going to go with them. So it was interesting talking to him. And I know, Kim, you talked to Coach Richardson and a couple of these other guys. But overall, really, really productive practice. Even if
just as not far a lot as to report
yeah,
on,
as far yeah. as the bystanding goes, as far as what the media can talk about, it's just unfortunately not as much, and I wouldn't expect as much tomorrow either. But Saturday we'll have all sorts of things to talk about.
Yeah, a couple more basketball notes. Corin Johnson, the guard from Washington, committed to Louisville.
Yeah.
Wesley Yates, who was injured all of last year, really highly touted kid, top 100 player. He's visiting Louisville as of this morning.
Louisville. Yeah. I'm tired of them.
Yeah. And then
I hope they enjoy their Papa John's pizza.
Yeah, also, Braxton Mia entered the portal, so we'll see what happens with that. And then a first, absolute first today.
I know what he's going to say.
I was in shorts and Hugh Millen was in long pants. I asked Hugh who he borrowed the pants from. When was the last time you saw Hugh Millen in pants?
Yeah. I mean, it's usually pretty cold weather when he said if it gets below 32, that's when I wear pants.
Yeah,
but he doesn't live up here.
No, anymore. He's down in Scottsdale and he's been climatized. He had a coat on and the whole. I mean, I was riding him all.
Yeah,
all practice.
The thing was when I was walking in, his rental car was going off. That was the
was that well, Hughes?
That was you. Okay. And the thing is, I saw him at the thing, and I'm like, he looks familiar. I would have taken his keys and gone and turned it off for him, but. Yeah. He had to walk all the way down and around because they don't have – so it was just –
Yeah, pretty funny. So go ahead.
Couple bald eagles.
The bald eagles.
We already wrapped it up.
Bald eagles are already there. So stay tuned. We'll be practice again tomorrow, which is Wednesday, and then draft on Thursday, practice on Saturday, practice on Monday, and then nothing else until the spring event – on Friday. So
they have a practice on Wednesday, but it's not open to the media.
Yeah.
And then also just to make sure
or fans, I'm assuming.
Right. And also just to make sure people know Thursday is the first day of the draft. It's the first round. Friday's second and third rounds, and then Saturday is the fourth. So we'll actually be at practice while the draft is finishing up. So we expect that there's going to be some double duty involved with that practice. That's going to be a busy day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems like all we've had lately is busy days since July. So anyways, for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnell, along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. And Arlen Grady, intern, high school intern, was here for a little bit. So for all of us at Dogman.com, go Dogs.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.